Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Today we're going to be talking about how to build your child's self-esteem. It's real critical how a person feels about themselves. There are 8 scriptures in the Bible. It says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. You know what that means? You don't love yourself, your neighbor's in trouble. People treat other people the way they feel about themselves. And you know, we go through a lot of processes where we learn how we do feel about ourselves. Most of it's input from other people. As you're growing up, you know, maybe it's your parents, grandparents, teachers, your neighbors, your buddies. What people say about you, reflecting back to you, begins to build a self-image in you. And if you don't grow up knowing the Word of God, knowing the truth about what God says about you and who you are and what you're destined to do, you'll believe what people tell you. That's why, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, also faith comes by just hearing what you hear enough of, you'll begin to believe. And so I used to make fun. I used to talk about, you know, people growing up, what we call the cheerleaders from hell. You know, people tell you, well, you're stupid, and you're not smart enough, and you can't walk and chew gum, you can't diagram a sentence, you've never been this, you'll never been that, you'll never be anything. And what happens is if you don't know the truth, you will believe the lie, because the devil's a liar. And what he does, he comes, and he'll lie to you. He tries to discourage, tries to talk us out of what God's already promised us. That's the story from Genesis to Revelation. It's a battle to reveal the truth. He said, I'm the truth. Truth will set you free. Truth will keep you free. The devil's a liar. And with that lie, he'll kill your joy, your future, your hope. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so what's real important as a parent, that we understand why it's important and how to, you know, build your child's self-esteem, how they see themselves. And you do it from the Word of God. So what we're going to do, we're going to go through about 10 things today that you can do, start this process. I don't care if your children are 35 and already moved out of the house, these things will still work. Things you kind of begin to do with them, but especially if they're still at home. If you got kids still at home, boy, you got a great opportunity to mold them, to do some things with them, to help them kind of get going. There was a study I read, I love to read, and it was a study one time where they did a survey of some 7,000 young people, all from Christian church-attending families, evaluating how they felt about themselves. And what was incredible is that one out of five from these 7,000 had severely low self-esteem. One out of five, that's 20%. Others had low self-esteem. But one out of five had severely low self-esteem coming out of a Christian home. They go to church on a regular basis. So it's almost like you can be around truth, but truth not being you. You don't know it and doesn't set well with it. So what we're going to do, give you 10 things how you can do this, just real practical things today. And so make sure you got a pencil. You can take some notes here. Number one, how do you give self-esteem? How do you give it? How are you going to give it? Okay, if my job is to put it in you as a child, you know, and I've got 6 kids at home, I want you to leave home feeling good about yourself, because you're going to treat others how you feel about you. You're going to attempt things based on how you feel about yourself. If you don't feel adequate, you don't feel smart enough, you feel stupid, you know, if you're believing all the lies the devil's told you, you probably won't attempt anything great in life, which means you'll never have anything great in life. So here's what we want to do. Number one, this is giving self-esteem. Here's how you do it. A, make your relationship with your spouse the most important relationship in your house. You want to build self-worth, self-esteem in a child, the best thing to do is make sure mom and dad, our priorities are right. Because a kid knows if that thing's not going well. You talk about feeling insecure. If they think mom and dad aren't getting along, mom and dad aren't doing things well, I'm telling you, man, that defensive mechanism kicks in. They'll manipulate, they'll do whatever to make everybody stay calm. And I've seen people come out of homes, you don't know who you are. You spent your entire life trying to keep everybody happy, walking on eggshells. You don't know who you are. The greatest thing a married couple can do for their kids is to make sure their relationship is the number one priority, and the kids are aware of that. There's an old saying we used to laugh about, marriage is forever, kids are passing through. Now, I love my children, love them dearly, but the best thing I can do for my 6 kids is make sure they know I love their mother, and their mother makes sure that they know that she loves me. That is number one. That's the biggest concrete you can pour. Number two, or B, is evaluate your expectations of your child. Micah 6:8. Three things, O man of God, do I require. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Don't expect a 5-year-old to do something only a 10-year-old can do. Don't expect a 10-year-old to do something only a 15-year-old can do. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations, And so the kids can never live up to it. They keep falling flat on their face. Nothing wrong with failure, but you've got to have some victories mixed in among that. You know, Babe Ruth, you know, hit 714 home runs and struck out 1,330 times. You know, the strikeouts weren't the, you think, well, that's just terrible. You almost set a record with that. Yeah, but he set a record with home runs. In other words, there's got to be some victories mixed in amongst all the other things that are going on with it. So evaluate your own personal, as a parent, expectations. Don't try to live your own life through your children, because they don't have the same gifts and abilities you do. They have their own unique set of grace gifts from God, things they're destined and created to do. A C, examine your own self-image, because my children are going to be like me. They're going to do what I do, not what I say. Luke 6:40, a child, when fully taught, will be just like their teacher. So if I want my children to feel good about them, I better not be going around down in the mouth all the time, depressed and don't think I'm worth anything. I've got to know who I am in Christ. You know, who He is in me and what we're destined to do. I've got to get that in if I expect to project that to somebody else in my home. D, give your children responsibilities around the house. One of the things that help people feel good about themselves is accomplishments. Knowing that they accomplished something. Knowing that they started something, then they finished it. You finished cleaning up your room. You finished your science fair project. You finished mowing the grass. You finished doing the dishes. In other words, give them some responsibilities to help them feel good about themselves, that they accomplished something. That way, that shuts the door on the devil bigger than anything. E, you got to spend plenty of time with your kids. The reason is kids need adult fellowship. We're in a society that separates everything. We separate first graders from second graders from third graders, junior high from high school from college. We separate men from the women, this side of the room, that side of the room. We're into separation. How are you going to learn what an adult is, what they're to do and act like, talk like, if you're never around any? Kids need adult fellowship, and especially mom and dad fellowship. We're the ones that have got their best interest at heart. They'll tell them the truth, they evaluate. F, be interested. Be interested in what your children accomplish. I don't care how insignificant it seems to you, it's huge to them. I don't care if it's coloring inside the lines or finally getting a B on a test or they just made the cut on the ball team or they were able to do the oral book report without passing out and crying. I don't care how insignificant it seems. You know, if they caught a butterfly in the backyard, you need to be interested in what they just accomplished or they want to try to achieve any more. That's why people respond to praise. You know, God's got four angels around the throne that don't do anything but praise Him. Four angels called seraphim. Six wings, eyeballs looking everywhere. God created four creatures that do nothing but praise Him. If God needs praise and you and I are made in the image of God, then we need praise. If we need praise, our children need praise. Humans respond to praise, and especially praise for doing things that are right. Help them be realistic about their feelings or their emotions. You have to tell your kids, you've got emotions. God's got emotions. Got all the emotions you've got. You've got the same emotions God's had, but you've got to control them. Somebody once said emotions are like spice. You know, you can't live off spices, but they sure make the food taste better. Emotions make life more interesting. You know, the joy, the excitement, all the things that go with all that. But you can't live off of them. You're going to have to help your children learn to deal with their feelings, their emotions of, you know, things you're going through, relationships, underachievement, overachievement. Don't get too excited. Don't get too depressed. Let's see if we can keep this thing kind of balanced out. H, you need to show visible trust in them. You know, right before Jesus went into the wilderness to face the devil, God stuck His hand out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Do you know God did that for His own Son before Jesus faced one of the most critical tests He was going to face on this planet? His Father bragged on Him in public. He showed visible trust in His Son. "I'm real pleased with you, Son. I'll show you doing a good job." That's incredible. That's power. Kids can run forever off of parents that brag on them. Treat them with respect, especially when you're with other people. That's called honoring. Don't tell embarrassing stories about your children with other family members around with them. Don't embarrass your children. Man, they're going to remember that 20 Thanksgivings from now. Don't do that. You know, the Bible talks honors what you do to others in public. Don't dishonor them by telling things, especially without their permission. I don't care how funny you think it is or whatever, don't do that to them. J, you need to prepare your kids for adolescence. Prepare them for adolescence, especially when their self-image is on the line. They go out into school, junior high school, whatever. There's always going to be somebody waiting to cut them down. Most of the kind of humor we have in America is cutting humor. You know, I don't like me. I don't feel good about me. So the only way to build me up is to make you look more stupid. That's the demonic kind of humor that we have in America. So when their self-image is on the line, you need to prepare them. Listen, there are some people in the world that are just doofuses, you know, and they're going to say some mean things or ugly things or things that aren't even true. Don't let that bother you. You're going to have to really prepare them. That just let that, like water off a duck's back. There are always going to be those kinds of people. There's some incredibly wonderful people in the world, some great people. Now, I just believe God, we're going to meet those and have great friends. But don't worry about those people, you know, that especially adolescents, when all of a sudden begin to turn on each other, trying to climb up the social ladder in order to climb up instead of getting yourself better. They think the only way to improve is by putting everybody else down, as long as they're prepared for that. And then, K's, you need to pray with your children. I don't know anything more powerful than somebody grab your hand and pray with. I know the impact it had on me as a young man, you know, to have somebody pray with you. It's like, my goodness, somebody pray with me. That's incredible. Or, hey, come here and get in agreement with me in a second. I don't care if it's a pastor, your father, your mother, a coach, a friend. Hey, let's pray about this just a second. There's something that happens that, you know, somebody loves me enough, honors me enough that they'd allow me to be a part of that. And I'm telling you, doing those things right now will start to put some self-worth into your kids. You begin to do them on a consistent basis. Number two, affirmation. Affirmation is powerful. You need to affirm the present achievement. Affirm the whatever doing there right now, brag on them. Every day, find something. Man, that's great. Man, I appreciate you doing that. That was good, man. Thank you for doing that. Affirm the current achievement. Don't run off last stuff. Well, you've not done anything in the year. Don't do that. Don't say that. There was a great study done one time, a book called Healing the Unaffirmed. You know, might find it fascinating reading. Any other two authors? Psychologists did a study, and they came up with a new term, brand new term. They invented it called deprivation neurosis syndrome. Deprivation neurosis syndrome. In other words, people deprived of affirmation, grew up without it. Somebody with deprivation neurosis syndrome shows these traits. Look at this. See if you know anybody like this. Number one, they are likely to be very self-centered. You ever got around people and they're all they talk about? They're all they think about? You start to talk and they got to go? You know, those are people incredibly self-centered. That's usually somebody who grew up with no affirmation in their life. Nobody ever bragged on them. Nobody ever complimented them. Nobody ever praised them. Praise is an absolutely critical spiritual need in every human life. If they don't get it righteously, they'll go get it unrighteously. And somebody with a deprivation neurosis syndrome, somebody that grew up, nobody ever praised them, thanked them, believed in them, complimented them. Nobody ever told them they were going to be able to accomplish something. So they grew up with this hole in their soul, basically. And so they're very self-centered. Number two, these kind of people fantasize a lot about capabilities and qualities they don't have. You know, you're trying to be something you're not. You don't have that talent, that gift. Quit fantasizing about something that you're not. Find out what you truly are that God's gifted you and get good at it. You've got a great gift. Quit trying to ride somebody else's gift. Find out what yours is. Number three, they are uncertain about their real strengths. They don't know what they're good at. They're uncertain about it. So what you want to do is you realize something. People are uncertain about what they do, where they're strong. They won't attempt anything. If I don't think I can, especially young men, because the greatest need for young men is honor. If young men don't think they can get honor, they won't attempt anything. They won't try anything. Number four, they're always trying to prove themselves. Somebody with a deprivation neurosis is always trying to prove that they're good, that they're lovable, that they're acceptable. So they always got to do the latest thing, tell the latest story, tell the biggest joke, top your story, because they got such a hole. The Bible says, mark the end of a perfect man, the end of that man is peace. So somebody with this condition is just there. And number five, they become very lonely and over-dependent on other people. Because they have no worth within themselves, they must constantly be propped up by the people around them. So they'll pull it out of, they'll manipulate to pull praise out of other people. Instead of getting it for just doing righteously, they manipulate to get it met.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.